Good morning, everyone. Like Jack said, my name is Carol Duty, and at first I need to apologize to Jack because I was so excited to talk to you that I ran up here before the announcements, and obviously I wasn't supposed to be standing here the whole time. So I'm really excited to be here today. We did start at the Syosset campus about 6 years ago, so this was our home campus, so it's really great to see so many people. I miss seeing you. For the last year or so, we've been at the Westbury campus. We were part of that planting crew over there. But a couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to come back here. My daughter Caitlin wanted to see her friends over in the youth group, so we came in and I sat kind of right around back there, and I started to pray for you. I started to ask God, what would you have me say on March 26th? I knew I was coming. I knew what the message was, and I said, God, you're going to know. You know already who's going to be sitting here, who's going to be watching. Just use me to speak to them. I don't have a speaking problem. Ask any of my friends. So I knew I'd be chatting a lot, but I wanted to make sure that it was for you, not something that Carol wanted to say. So interestingly enough, I knew what the topic was today, and I had a little bit of a direction that I was going in. The scripture for today is found in Luke 15, and you might be familiar with the story. It's about the shepherd and the sheep. So I just want to take a look at that, if Jen will bring up the scripture for us. Here we go. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them?" Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. So I thought, this is fantastic. Thank you, Steve Tomlinson. I can do this one, right? We have the shepherd representing Jesus. So nice, right? Like, how could I lose on this one? You know, I haven't done this very often, and I get a little nervous, and how the congregation will react to what I say. But I'm thinking, this is going to be great. I got the cute little sheep. I have the shepherd. This is such a nice story. But see, part about being up here, and I'm sure you've heard it from Jack and from Jerry and Steve and Greg, is that we like to use our own personal stories, a little bit of our history, to bring these truths to light. And as I was going over, I kept saying, God, you know, what stories would you have me tell? And these crazy stories kept coming up. So God said, you know, Carol, you have this habit of going to the basement. Like, I'll be in the kitchen, you know, I'll be like, oh, I need a roll of paper towels. And I'll run to the basement, and I'll get to the basement, and I'll go, why am I here? Does that happen to anybody? Please, I know it's just because I'm 52, okay? And I'm blonde, you know. But then I'll think, oh, it's, you know, it's not really that I'm losing it. It's because the laundry, the beeper went off, and I've got to go over there and put the clothes in the dryer. And then I run upstairs, and I go, I don't have the paper towels, you know. And I'm like, I must be distracted. And sometimes I'm really distracted more than others. As Jack said, I help with youth ministry, and we have this awesome retreat. If anyone has a high school student, it's a must attend. We do this youth retreat in January. I'm now part of, like, the administration for that. 450 kids. It's unbelievable. We have bands. We have speakers. So now I'm part of that this past January. And, you know, I'm going to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning, and toilets are overflowing, and people are wandering the campus, so I'm really distracted. And I'm getting ready for bed, and I grab my toothbrush and my toothpaste, and I go into the bathroom, and I'm brushing my teeth, and something is very wrong. And I smell, and I taste, and I look down, and I brush my teeth with my self-tanner. My face, we had just come back from Mexico, and I'm so vain that I wanted to keep my tan, and it's a little tube, and I had brushed my teeth with self-tanner. Well, needless to say, I was spitting it out, and I'm looking on the tube, and it's like I'm going to die because I brushed my teeth with the self-tanner, but I was really, really distracted. And I'm like, God, why would you want me to tell these stories? First of all, they're not particularly flattering, but why would you want to tell me these stories? And what God really put on my heart is, as much as I would love to focus on the shepherd and Jesus and those songs we just sang, but I think God is trying to tell me, and a message for you, is today we're going to focus on the condition of the sheep. Of the sheep that is lost. The sheep that now has a distance between itself and the shepherd. And some of the conditions we're going to talk about that creates that distance between the sheep, which is us, and the shepherd. And I have to be candid with you. It's not going to be an easy conversation today. We're going to take a little inventory, and that sometimes is really hard. And every part of you is going to say, you need to go to the bathroom right now. You need to get out of here. You need to leave. You need to get on your phone. You need to be distracted. But I beg you today, just stay, because he has something to say to you. I prayed for you today, and he has a message. He wants to speak his heart to your heart today. So we're going to talk about the lost sheep, the one that is distant. The first one that I'd like to talk about, and this is maybe you, I know it's certainly me, is the distracted sheep. This is the one that brushes its teeth with self-tanner. This sheep wakes up in the morning and hits the ground running. This sheep collapses in bed at night. This sheep is running all day, working, taking care of the family, maybe taking care of parents who need their attention, you know, taking care of the home. This sheep is so busy all day. And what happens to this distracted sheep is that we really don't have time to study the Bible. It's just so busy. We really don't have time to pray as much as we used to pray. We really don't have time to get in community and attend that Bible study that we used to attend. So what happens to our distracted sheep is that we're getting further and further from the very source of life. And the distracted sheep is not lost. The distracted sheep probably has Christ in their life. So maybe you wouldn't categorize yourself as the lost sheep. But something's happened over time as life. Listen, I'm there with you. I work a full-time job. I commute to Manhattan every day. But there has to be time in your day that you spend with the shepherd. And it doesn't have to be some dramatic 3-hour period of your day. I don't have it either. But what you can do is you pick up the chronological Bible. I think that's maybe 10 minutes a day. Right now we're doing the study of Luke. We're doing a travelogue. And I've done a recording, so I know they're at max supposed to be 4 minutes. 4 minutes of your day. That sounds pretty doable, right? Or just this morning I was listening to K-Love, and I think it's like Bible Awareness Month or something. And I was listening to a song by Mercy Me called Flawless. And the words are so brilliant. It's biblical. So you just listen to the, you know, something like a K-Love as you commute to work or you're running your errands. Draw closer to him, because he has a specific word in the Bible about this. You know, there's a story about Mary and Martha. And you may know the story, but basically Jesus comes to see them. And Martha is so busy doing her thing, and they're all good things. She's cleaning the house, she's cooking. I don't know about you, my mother says, thank God for company, because it's the only time I clean the house. You know, so Jesus has come, and you know, she's cooking and cleaning, but Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Mary is this sheep at the feet of Jesus. And in the version that I have, the NIV, it says, Martha was distracted. And then Jesus, you know, Martha's getting pissed. She's like, what is this about? Get Mary over here. Like, I'm doing all the work. What's up with Mary? And Jesus has a direct statement to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha. Do we have it up? You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of the shepherd. So I would encourage you this morning to find that time to draw nearer to the shepherd if you are that distracted sheep. The next sheep I like to talk about, this poor sheep is going to get a lot of work today. I only have one sheep. You're going to move that? Oh, I'm sorry. My daughter worked very hard on this sheep. Let's give Caitlin a hand. She worked very hard and made my sheep. The next sheep I like to talk about is this sheep that has sin in their life that has not been dealt with. Now, some of you may say, you know, I'm not so bad, right? Sin is not, you know, what did I do yesterday? You know, a little sin. There's a great song by Casting Crowns called Slow Fade, and I would encourage you to YouTube it. And basically, every time you have a sin in your life, and maybe you're here today and you just don't know what that laundry list is, and we can absolutely connect with our pastoral staff or our teachers, and we can absolutely help you to get a better understanding. Like, Carol, what exactly is sin all about? Can't go into it right now, but we're going to leave it at a little 30,000 feet right now. So basically, sin, when it's not dealt with, when it's not repented, when it's not forgiven, will begin to create the distance between you and the shepherd. And this happens for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons that I know of is that when you're this close to the shepherd and you have that undealt with sin, there's a bit of a conviction going on here. You're feeling like, maybe I shouldn't stand so close. Maybe I'm not worthy to be this close to the shepherd because I've done some really bad things in my life. I have sin in my life. I'm not perfect. I do things that, you know what? I can't get that close to the shepherd. You know, I can't look him in the eye. Well, let me tell you, none of us are perfect. If you saw me driving here this morning and how many laws I broke to get here, you would know none of us are perfect. That's not the requirements that Jesus has for us. But what Jesus wants is this relationship with you so you don't get out here. My stepbrother Chippy died last summer, and on his deathbed, basically, my mother was talking to him. And she said, Chippy, you know, God loves you so much that he died for you, that he wants you to be in eternity with him. And Chippy said to my mother, it can't be true. I've been so bad. I've been so bad. I've been a bad boy. My stepbrother was 67 years old when he died. I've been a bad boy. And my mother said, no, Chippy, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't look at you that way. He doesn't count your sins and keep a little ledger and want to go over every bad thing that you did. He loves you so much. See, we serve and we love an incredibly compassionate and loving God who does not keep a ledger of what you've done. All he wants you to do is come home. He wants you to be there. He wants you to be next to him. And we are told in Psalm 103 exactly how God feels about this topic. Our God is the author of compassion and empathy, and he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in love. And he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as we deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us. As far as from the east is from the west, so far removed are our transgressions from us. If you're here today and you just have sin in your life that you're thinking, I'm too far, I've been such a bad boy, I would encourage you, today is your day. You no longer have to be separated from the very source of your freedom. Come close to the shepherd. And God's grace, I heard this quote once, I can't tell you where I heard it, but God's grace will do more for you than sin has ever done to you. I'm going to say that again. God's grace will do more for you than sin has ever done to you. I just picked up this picture because to me, the sheep on the left is carrying sin, the weight and the load of sin. And the sheep on the right has been sheared, that sin has been removed. I also like this picture because if you notice, the sheep on the right is pretty banged up, right? He's got a big gash on his neck. I mean, he's looking pretty banged up. I think that's really the condition of what we are. We're pretty banged up people. But God's grace and the shepherd are waiting for you to draw near. Now, the next sheep I was actually going to delete. To be honest with you, I had enough to say today, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to take this one out. And my daughter Caitlin was sitting at the kitchen table with me when I was drafting this, and she said I had to keep it in. So I'm going to keep it in. So basically, this sheep is embarrassed by its faith. My understanding from my daughter Caitlin is all the time she tells her friends she's going to be at church. Oh, Caitlin, what are you doing Friday night? I'm helping a kids blast. Oh, Caitlin, what are you doing Wednesday night? I'm going to Delta. Oh, Caitlin, what are you doing on Sunday? You're going to join the soccer team, the lacrosse team, whatever. No, I'm sorry, my family goes to church on Sunday. And every time, it's like, you know what? Maybe I just need to, like, not really attend so many things at church. You know, maybe it's just a little too much, you know, these Jesus people, you know? Maybe I just need to separate myself a little bit. Maybe they're a little much. You know, when my husband and I started dating, Michael was not a believer. I mean, he knew God, but he was not, he didn't accept God into his life the way he does today. And I asked Michael to come to church with us, and I went to a very charismatic, like, Brooklyn Tabernacle type church growing up. And, you know, we showed up at 9. We left like 3 or 4 hours later. It was very outgoing. It was very demonstrative. We spoke in tongues. There were people running around the room. And you can imagine the Mary Queen of Heaven boy. My Catholic boyfriend from Brooklyn was really not used to this. And at one point when we left, in short, he was basically saying we were nuts, right? You know, he was just like, this is way too much for me. Won't be coming back anytime soon. About 2 weeks later, we went to a Ranger game. And we were about 10 rows from the top, and it was Ranger Day. I mean, this was the day. It was Mark Messier, Brian Leach, Mike Richter was in the net. I mean, Adam Graves. I mean, this was Ranger territory. And these people were lunatics. I mean, they were screaming and cursing and throwing things on the ice, and they were over the top. And on the way home, I said to Michael, let me understand. When I shout, when I sing, because I believe Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, that he saves the sinner, that he heals the sick and the lame and the blind, and I get excited about this God, I'm not supposed to scream and yell and shout, but a couple of guys banging a puck around the ice, that's okay that we scream and yell and carry on. So you get where I'm going. Don't ever be embarrassed that you're a follower of Christ. Because you know what? You have the very cure that the entire world is hungry for. And the only place you're going to be able to go out into that world, the light on the hill, the only way you get to go out in that world is continually draw yourself back to the shepherd, draw yourself back to your community group, draw yourself back to the Bible. Draw yourself back to the very source, the oil that lights your lamp, that you can go out into this world and be what Jesus has created you to be, and that is to spread life-giving word of Christ. The next one that I'd like to look at is the wounded sheep. Now, the wounded sheep is very personal to me. The wounded sheep today, and I know there's a lot of wounds in life, but the wounded sheep that I like to talk about today is the sheep that has heard words that have stung to the very core. Words and possibly physical abuse that have made this sheep question their very worth. When I was growing up, I was told I wasn't very smart. And my brothers were smarter. And I would come home from school, and this is my report card from second grade that shows you how not smart I was. And there would be a bunch of U's for unsatisfactory. There would be a bunch of failures. And when I would come home, my mother had left when I was 5, so my father was either drinking or working. And when I would come home, there was only one way that my father would deal with failures in school, and my brothers and I would get a beating. And we would get a strap across the butt for every you that was on that report card. And you can come and look at it. There's quite a few. And this continued to feed into me that I wasn't smart, that I wasn't worth anything, that, you know, I could never recover from this. I'm sure it wouldn't be surprising to you that I dropped out of high school when I was 17. But you know what? If there's anyone here in this room that relates to that story, and it could be by the hand or by the mouth, and it could have been your mother, your father, your employer, your grandmother, listen, it could have been someone in church that cut you to the very quip with their words or with their hands or with their actions. I want you to hear something today that God said to me. He wants to tell you today, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that someone hurt you like that, because he loves you. And it's not what he planned for you. Because God has love for you and compassion for you and plans for you. But sometimes, because of the world we're in, those plans get screwed up. But God is never leaving you. He loves you. He will draw you out of that situation. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. In Jeremiah 30, it says, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. And I want to show you something. You see how little this is? This is my Brooklyn Law School degree. This is what God does. And it's not me. It's not, you know, about anything other than God. It's just to show you that this is the business that God is in. He wants to take this wounded sheep that was over here, that thought so little of herself and had so little worth, and I was so far from him. I didn't start reading the Bible till I was 40 years old. And between then and now, to understand what God really thinks of me, what the worth that I have in him, now I'm here. And that's where I plan to stay. So if you have that in your heart today, if you've experienced any of that, it doesn't matter if you were 5 or it was last week, God wants to heal that. Please don't spend another minute or another day or another hour spending your energy on a lie from the devil that you're not worth precious, precious diamonds and rubies. You're worth everything to the shepherd. Worth so much that he gave his life for you. That you're worth everything to him. And lastly, I like to talk about the sheep that lives in fear. The sheep that's afraid of dying, that's afraid of living, that's afraid of losing their house, afraid of losing their job, afraid of losing their spouse. This is my control freak sheep. And I'm sure I'm the only one in here that can relate to the sheep, right? This is the control freak sheep. This is the sheep that says, you know what, shepherd, I've got it. I've got it all under control. I can handle it. I don't need your help. I don't need my community's help. If I just keep all the balls in the air, everything is going to be fine. But the truth of the matter is, it won't be. You will get to a point where you cannot control anything. And you have to come to God. I tell you, we were just with a friend yesterday who just had a double mastectomy. And as we gathered around her and prayed, I thought to myself, how do people do this without God? Because they're self-reliant. They think they can do it all. A couple of summers ago, I was up in camp with my kid, with my daughter Caitlin. My son Christopher was in Peru, and Michael was in Belize on a missions trip. I had brought my passport with me because I thought if anything happens and I need to jump on a plane. So I'm up at Cedarbrook with about 9 girls from Shelter Rock. I had driven the van up. And while Christopher was in Peru, he got very, very sick, like 104 fever. And I was beside myself. I'm in camp. I could barely get internet service. I would have to drive down the road to find out from Kevin Mahaffey what was going on. Christopher came home, breathed a sigh of relief. The very next day, he had 104. We just didn't know. Was it yellow fever? Did he have to go to the hospital? We just weren't sure. And I was beside myself. I so wanted to be home. My mother was with him. I wanted to be there to take him to the hospital and take him to the doctor and do all these things. And I went in my cabin, and I was down on my knees like this, crying to God. I must have, like animal sounds were coming out of me, screeching, crying, God, please don't let him die. Please don't, because I didn't have control, and he would only be okay, right, if I had control. And I was crying, and I must have been there a half an hour, and I heard a word from God so clear to me that said, Carol, is Christopher going to be okay because you're there or because I'm there? Do you hear what I'm saying? Because God was with Christopher, not because I was with Christopher. And the peace that just came over me, and I said, I don't have to be the one, God. You're the one. But see, we don't know these things. We don't relinquish this control until you know who the shepherd is. So what you need to do, and these are three simple, simple things. You need to get in that Bible. You need to find out who God is. You need to draw close to that sheep. You need to pray. You need to get alone with God. Listen, if you can order a Happy Meal at McDonald's, you can pray. It's just a conversation with God. Just to start practicing, taking that time. We have Bible studies here. We have prayer groups here. We're here to help you build this relationship with God. Get in community. We have so many community groups going on. It is awesome. Get in a community group. Do not navigate this alone. You're not meant to be alone. And the best part of the whole thing is when you do all this, there's a huge party. Do you remember what Luke said? He rejoices when you come to him. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't say, oh, you really didn't get to that prayer this week. Oh, you missed Bible study. It's not what God does. That's what we do, by the way. God opens his arms and says, come to me. I've been waiting for you. I've got the feast laid out. I've got a party for you. So if you're here today, you're distracted. You're dealing with that undealt with sin. You're embarrassed. You're wounded. You're living in fear. Jesus Christ is your answer. Draw close to the shepherd because he wants to draw close to you. Jack's going to come up now and serve us communion. And just remember, that very shepherd is the reason why we celebrate communion. Thank you.